And since God bids us to seek God's face, believe God's word, and trust God's grace, we come now not afraid, knowing that God does not turn away from us, but comes toward us. So let us hold this as we come to our prayers of confession, that God is present, tender, intimate, holy, and true. Let us pray. God of our hope, you created us in love to be yours, to enjoy and care for your creation and your children. Yet too often we live without joy, without the rejoicing that is our call. Called to live lives of gentleness, often we are filled with anger and hurt. With hands clenched with worry, we can neither give nor receive. Invited to be generous, we can tighten our grip on our possessions and even our love. Called to be just with everyone, it is all too easy to turn away from those who are different from us. With our feet of clay, we cannot dance in joy or run to help. But today we sing, I would be thine and serve thee forever, filled with thy spirit, lost in thy love. We ask for your help and your power to change. Open the wells of grace and salvation. Flow, wellspring of life. Open our hands in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Move our feet toward grace and hope and trust in you. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Sisters and brothers, I invite you to rise for these words of assurance, knowing that God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, is our salvation and has mercy on us and forgives sin. Let us now share that peace which passes all understanding, turning to each other and saying, the peace of Christ be with you, and responding, I invite the children forward where Carolyn has a story. And I invite you to notice our blue fabric here today, which evokes the wells that flow with salvation.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Good morning. You know, I almost asked the children to run up here as fast as they could because I wanted them to be a little thirsty by the time they came up here. Can you see, what do you think the fabric looks like here that looks like it's dripping down? It looks like water. And we were singing about God's love being like the wellspring of life today. Have you ever been playing outside and you got to the water fountain and you pressed it and it was just a little drip? And it was so disappointing and you could just barely quench your thirst. And how wonderful it is if you press that button and, oh, the cold water comes out and comes out. And it never stops. And that's what God's love is like for us. Not just a tiny little bit of something, but as much as we need to fill our thirst and be there for us. So let's remember that this week. Since we don't have frozen water outside, we have fog and we have other water. We can think about God's love being the wellspring of life. Let's pray. Loving God, we thank you for these children. We thank you for all the children of Prairie Street who might not be here today or might be traveling. Whether they are big or small, you made them, you love them, and so do we. Keep all our young ones safe this week and lead them to grow in your love. Amen.
Our Old Testament scripture today is from Zephaniah 3. Hear what the prophet Zephaniah gives to us today. Sing aloud, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O Israel. Rejoice and exult with all your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away the judgments against you. He has turned away your enemies. The King of Israel, the Lord, is in your midst. You shall fear disaster no more.
Sofonías 3, 14 a 20. Canta, hija de Sion. Da voces de júbilo, Israel. Regocíjate de todo corazón, hija de Jerusalén. El Señor ha apartado tus juicios y ha expulsado a tus enemigos. El Señor es el Rey de Israel y está en medio de ti. Nunca más verás el mal.
On that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, do not fear, O Zion. Do not let your hands grow weak. The Lord your God is in your midst, a warrior who gives victory. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will renew you in his love. He will exult over you with loud singing as on a day of festival.
Cuando llegue el momento, se dirá a Jerusalén, no temas, Sion, que no se debiliten tus manos. El Señor está en medio de ti y te salvará con su poder. Por ti se regocijará y se alegrará. Por amor guardará silencio y con cánticos se regocijará por ti.
I will remove disaster from you so that you will not bear reproach for it. I will deal with all your oppressors at that time. I will save the lame and gather the outcast. I will change their shame into praise and renown in all the earth.
Yo reuniré a tus habitantes, a los que por tanto tiempo han tenido que cargar con tu oprobio. Cuando llegue el momento, perseguiré a todos tus opresores, salvaré a las ovejas que cojean e iré en busca de las que perdieron el camino. Yo haré que ustedes sean motivo de alabanza y que gocen de renombre en toda la tierra.
At that time, I will bring you home. I will bring you home at the time I gather you. For I will make you renowned and praised among all the peoples of the earth when I restore your fortunes before your eyes, says the Lord.
Cuando llegue el momento, yo mismo los haré venir. Cuando llegue el momento, yo mismo los reuniré. Cuando ponga fin a su cautiverio, lo cual ustedes mismos verán. Los haré gozar de renombre y haré que sean motivo de alabanza entre todos los pueblos de la tierra.
And now from Philippians 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.
Filipenses 4, 4 a 7. Regocícense en el Señor siempre. Y otra vez les digo, regocícense. Que la gentileza de ustedes sea conocida de todos los hombres. El Señor está cerca. No se preocupen por nada. Que sus peticiones sean conocidas delante de Dios en toda oración y ruego, con acción de gracias. Y que la paz de Dios, que sobrepasa todo entendimiento, guarde sus corazones y sus pensamientos en Cristo Jesús.
The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Palabra del Señor.
Gracias a Dios.
We are glad to have Pastor Nelson as our preacher today. Let us pray. The prophet says that we will draw waters with rejoicing from the springs of salvation. May Nelson's words to us today be that water. Amen.
May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus today. Amen. This week I had opportunity to meet with Angela Tanner, mother of the young man who many of you will recall died in our parking lot 2 years ago, just before Christmas. We met at her initiative to talk about how she and we at Prairie Street might be marking this anniversary on December 23. At Prairie Street, we have called the young man who died Devante. His family calls him by his middle name, ray. Ray of hope. I asked how the work of grief is going, and Mrs. Tanner shared freely and gave permission for me to share that here. I always ask permission before I share anything that you say to me personally or anyone says to me personally, and she was happy for me to share these comments with you. First, she agreed that grief is work. It's hard work every day. But she said, I'm doing all right. Ray's death was a turning point in my life. And to use her phrase, she said, I was born again. I turned to God. I got connected with the church. I got new purpose in my life after Ray died. And she talked about her desire, which she already expressed a year ago, to organize conversations among parents in Elkhart who have lost family members to violence. And I'm hopeful that something's coming of that now. And we talked about the organizational strategy for that. And I believe something will happen. The group will be called Ray of Hope, she said. And we will call the gathering on December 23, Ray of Hope Vigil. There was joy in her spirit and peace as she spoke. And I urge you to attend a short vigil on December 23, 2 days before Christmas, meeting here at the church at 7 o'clock. God is in the business of bringing life out of death, light out of darkness, hope out of despair. This is the message of Advent. Last week we looked at the little book of Malachi, the last book of the Old Testament. We looked at the difficult circumstances of Israel at that time. The temple was rebuilt, sort of, but it was not very grand. Israel was reestablished as a nation, sort of, but it was still under the control of foreigners. There were corrupt leaders in the temple and in government. Idolatry and injustice were prevalent. Now that's the book of Malachi. Today we look at Zephaniah. And we see that sometimes our world is discouraging. Fear is on the rise. There seem to be endless wars. There's prejudice against religious groups and racial groups. Millions of refugees today, would-be presidents saying offensive things. It is right for us, like the prophets of old, to lament the brokenness and name the brokenness in our lives and in our world. And this is a season of hope. Today we turn to Zephaniah, another one of those 12 short books at the end of the Old Testament. These are not necessarily short or insignificant prophets. They just didn't write big books. We have just a little bit from 12 prophets, and they're grouped together at the end of our Old Testament. Zephaniah spoke several hundred years before Malachi. He spoke before the exile, before the great disaster of destruction of Jerusalem. And Israel was a tiny nation caught between the powers of Mesopotamia, what we would call Iraq and Iran, and Egypt. And these very empires at various times were trying to control the land between them or control each other. And Israel, tiny, tiny nation, got caught in this. International events seemed out of control, like they do sometimes in our day. There was genuine danger for Jerusalem because Assyria had already destroyed the northern nation, the 10 tribes, what we call the 10 lost tribes. They were gone from history, never to be reestablished. And all that remained now was little Judah around Jerusalem in the south, was not yet conquered, was not wiped out. And Zephaniah, in this difficult time, time of danger and disaster, rages against the idolatry and injustice in Israel. Even Israel had taken to worshiping the Baals. Even Israel had turned to idolatry and filled its houses with violence. And in what feels like a catharsis of anger, if you read this book, feels like a catharsis, a kind of cleansing of anger. Zephaniah declares that all of the earth shall be consumed with God's wrath. God is really angry at Israel. God will punish the nations around Israel, the Philistines, the Moabites, the Ethiopians, the Assyrians, these other nations that are threatening Israel and involved in idolatry. God's going to punish them, and Jerusalem will pay for its own sin. Wow. It's a blaze of prophecy. Some of the Hebrew prophets make me nervous. Maybe that's what prophets are supposed to do. Zephaniah makes me nervous. Was it really Israel's fault that Assyria and Babylon and Egypt threatened the Jewish people and eventually destroyed Jerusalem? Was that really Israel's own fault? There's a way in which people experiencing tragedy are tempted to blame themselves. If only I had done this differently, maybe my son would not have died. Maybe my daughter would not have been in the accident. Survivors of tragedy, or people in the midst of crisis, sometimes feel responsible for events that in reality are beyond their control. Are some of the prophets of the Old Testament blaming Israel for catastrophes that were going to happen anyway, no matter what Israel did? Methodist pastor James Mayfield writes, "It is not unusual for us humans to search for something to feel guilty about. This searching for what I did wrong is sometimes related to our fears and doubts about ourselves. It is as if we are looking for something that will confirm our low opinion of ourselves. We are especially vulnerable to such feelings in the wake of unexplainable tragedy," Mayfield writes. He continues, "It is difficult to stand in the wake of tragedy with all its unanswered questions. It is tempting to believe that if we could find some cause, something that went wrong, someone to blame, the tragedy would be more acceptable." When the world reels around us, when tragedy strikes, when illness swamps us, when relationships fail, our response might be guilt, despair, or anger. The difficulty in dealing with these kind of responses is that in retrospect, we see how things could have been done differently. We could have done something if we had known, if we had been aware, if we had understood. Hindsight is 20/20 in our lives. We look back and see, yes, I could have done something different. And in fact, sometimes we act in ways that damage ourselves or others. We are fallible. We make mistakes. We sin. Let us bring our brokenness to God. We cannot fix the world ourselves. We cannot fix ourselves. We need God. Salvation belongs to God. When I read Zephaniah, I get a sense that he is working through stages of grief, as it were. He's angry, and then he's depressed, and then there is guilt, and then there is grief, and finally, at the end of the book, there is hope, brilliant hope. When we go through such waves of emotion, looking back on our lives, the crises of our lives, or the crisis we are in right now, when we go through difficult times, we might do what Zephaniah did, and that is articulate this feeling in the context of worship and being in the presence of God. Here is a man who is in the presence of God. He, as it were, is bringing the anger and the rage into this relationship with God and letting God deal with this and God work. In his frustration at the moral and political chaos in Israel, Zephaniah says, "A day of the Lord is coming, and it's not a good day for most of us. It's going to be," and at various times he describes it as distress, anguish, ruin, devastation, darkness, gloom, destruction. These are all words of Zephaniah. He acknowledges the problems of Israel, but he looks to God for resolution. He doesn't set out to fix the problems himself. He lashes out at the nations around. All the nations around will feel the heat of God's wrath. The whole earth will be consumed on the day of the Lord. There is truth in Zephaniah's indictment of the nations and of Israel. But I do not take all of his prophecies literally. I don't believe that God was or is about to consume the whole world with fire. I don't believe that. This language reflects the depth of Zephaniah's anger and conviction. Feelings we might have in the midst of tragedy or when we are overwhelmed with injustice in the world. Zephaniah's imagery might be over the top a bit, but it is still true that Israel sinned, that surrounding nations were predatory. It is true that you and I have sinned, that American society has sinned, has failed to show love and mercy in a time of international conflict. The prophets call us to repentance and even more to dependence on God. Zephaniah seems to come to his senses. At the end of his short book, God saves humanity. The first part of the book, large part of the book, is the disaster, the anger, the vinegar, as it were. But the fire, God will save humanity, and the fire of God's wrath will destroy injustice, will destroy idolatry, is the way the book turns at the end. These are scourges. Injustice and idolatry that should be destroyed. We should want God to destroy these aspects of our experience. Chapter 3, verse 9. At that time, the time of salvation, I will change the speech of the nations to pure speech, that all of them may call on the name of the Lord and serve with one accord. Let us pray for pure speech in this country and an end to racism. Chapter 3, verse 12. Zephaniah quotes the Lord saying, "For I will leave in the midst of you a people humble and lowly. They shall seek refuge in the name of the Lord." May we as Mennonite people as Americans learn humility and lowliness in dealing with conflicts of our world. Verse 13, a remnant of Israel will pasture and lie down, and no one shall make them afraid. May God remove fear from our hearts, the fear that lurches us into racism or xenophobia or hatred of other peoples. Verse 20, at that time, I will bring you home. At that time, I will gather you, for I will make you renowned and praised among all the peoples of the earth, when I restore your fortunes before your eyes, says the Lord. May God bring us home to a place of safety as individuals and as nations. The good news of Advent is that God is present to bring this healing and hope. We confess our sin. We bring our anger or our fear to God. We know God's grace. We can have confidence that God will protect and will redeem and will bring us through whatever difficult circumstances we face. Hard experiences will continue for Mrs. Tanner. The young man accused of killing her son goes on trial on January 4 in Goshen. She will endure long courtroom presentations of details about her son's death, disputed by lawyers. Knowing God does not remove all suffering from her life or from our lives, but trusting in God means we are not alone in hardship. Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. This week, Mrs. Tanner said, I forgive the young man who killed my son. He needs to pay for what he has done, but that is God's business. I forgive him. If I don't forgive, how can I expect God to forgive me? She is not imprisoned in bitterness or hatred. She's been set free. This Advent, there is hope in her life. Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and your minds in Jesus Christ. Amen.
Please turn with me to number 49 in the purple Sing the Story. I will come to you in the silence. Please note that we go straight from verse 1 into verse 2. And when we head into the refrain for the first time, I invite you to stand, and I'll motion that as well. And that standing will be our symbolization of turning from our fear and turning from our despair and turning towards God in hope. For our sending song, number 434, in the blue hymnal, please stand. 434.
We have done the work of worship together, and now each one gets ready to enter that turbulent, dry world. May you go with a deep well of salvation springing up, and may you go rejoicing in the Lord. May you go with gentleness. The Lord is near. Do not worry. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understandings, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.